be broadcasting to you live
from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
These sweet, sweet people.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You are trust fund fans. And I think there is a hubris of Packers fans who just say, get him out of here. Rodgers is too weird.
The Rich Eisen Show.
How dare you celebrate that man's departure?
Earlier on the show, former NFL general manager Thomas Dimitroff. Packers wide receiver Christian Watson. Still to come, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, can confirm. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show channel on the Roku channel. Good to see you, everybody, on channel 210. If you've been watching, if you have missed any part of it, stay right where you are because this show re-airs as soon as we are done. All 3 hours every single day. Same thing, by the way, with our Cumulus Podcast Network version of this show. All 3 hours. If you miss anything, you can go listen to us whenever you're darn well. Please do us a favor and hit us with a subscribe right there to put yourself in the old RSS feed. We appreciate a subscription a follow on our YouTube page as well, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. It's a great way to keep up with this program. The Rich Eisen Show Collection, which is the way we refer to our video on demand relationship with the Roku channel. That's sitting right there for you if you miss any portion of this program, like the first hour conversation we had with Thomas Dimitroff, the former general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, or Christian Watson called in. The Green Bay Packers, big old shrug emoji. It's above my pay grade. The whole business of what's above my pay grade. The whole Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love thing. Now then, let's kick off hour number three, thusly, as Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network is about to be called into this program. The news that we heard just before we left yesterday is that Mecole Hardman, the Kansas City Chiefs of all those many years there, he's now a New York Jet. The Jets signed him to a one-year deal. And I turned to you, and I'm like, okay, so that's him. Mm-hmm. Now with Alan Lazard, who the Jets just acquired in free agency. Garrett Wilson, your reigning offensive rookie of the year. Corey Davis has been there for the last couple of years. He was a big free agent signing a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And Elijah Moore, who had some brief flashes of productivity in his rookie season as a second-round draft choice of the Jets 2 years ago and then disappeared from the scene. And at one point was reportedly vocal about disappearing from the scene, and the Jets sat him and told him, stay at home while we go to Denver and lose Breece Hall and Elijah Vera Tucker in the same game due to injury. And then they come back, and Elijah Moore's still back in the fold, and what's going to happen to him? And why am I bringing this up? Well, Elijah Moore, after we left here, became a Cleveland Brown. And the Jets traded him to Cleveland. Young receiver with big upside. The Browns now get him. And they also get from the Jets a third-round draft choice for their second-round pick.
There you go.
And the Jets now have a second-round pick, 42nd overall, right in front of their 43rd overall draft choice. They already hold two second-round picks in a row. And just when you think, oh, the Jets will be on the clock for two straight picks. Nuh-uh.
Those are going to Green Bay.
I don't know if they are going to Green Bay, at least one both is. Of them.
Remember, I told you yesterday, they should try to get more.
At least one's going to Green Bay.
Well,
you're like, he's not going anywhere.
The Browns got more, and now if the Packers want what they got for more, have at it. Or if I'm the Jets, I'm trying to give them 43 so they can get to choose whoever they want to have at 42. They can go in front of the line in front of Green Bay because Green Bay doesn't have all the leverage. As I've mentioned, while we wait for Aaron Rodgers. Oh, by the way, Rodgers is still not a Jet. As we have our new graphic, courtesy of Smitch, from the Rich Eisen Show. Sorry, folks, Aaron Rodgers is still not on the Jets.
Sorry, folks.
Is that it? Is that the clip?
Yeah, of course it is.
Look at you, Mike.
Sorry, folks.
Yep.
Good job.
Standing Thank outside you, the Wally's world that's known as Jets headquarters.
Sorry, folks.
Not there yet.
Give away that all over. Thanks, awesome. Mike Hoskins.
But that's as you can awesome. See, Joe Douglas working it. The it being, hey, if Elijah Moore can get us a second, and all it does is cost us a third. So what we do is get a pick that we can give to Rodgers. It costs us a third round pick for Rodgers. And, of course, we lose a very talented kid. But that's it. So we lose a kid that we weren't planning on using anyway and didn't want to be here anymore, apparently. And we'll just take a third round pick. And so even though they're going to give a second to Rodgers, all it did was cost him a third. I say that's what's called a win. If Green Bay is going to give Rodgers, which they're going to do to the Jets, there you go. And they could still maybe hold on to their second and their first. And next year, in next year's draft, cough up another draft choice that's a sliding scale. If Rodgers makes the playoffs or plays a second year for him, kind of like it. Because it ain't going to be a one. Nah. Joe Douglas working the board. And the first round draft choice for the Jets belongs to New York. The Packers can go pound sand and sit around and play this game of chicken till their $60 million bill comes due. So, now that we have established again that Aaron Rodgers will be a Jet, you have been saying, TJ, this has been all over the map. And normally we don't do what's all over the map on the Rich Eisen show.
We try not to.
We stand out.
You know, we try to, you know, create the path.
There is an eye in Rich and Eisen.
I'm looking at it. It's right behind you.
Thank you. Top five NFC quarterbacks.
Yeah.
When Aaron Rodgers gets traded to the Jets. There's no if here. That's the difference.
When?
Everyone else is saying if. Around these parts, it's when he gets traded to the Jets.
All right, let's go.
Hit it. Here we go. When Aaron Rodgers gets traded to the Jets, there will be a new pecking order in the NFC amongst the quarterbacks. Because, as you know, it's very heavy in the AFC. Just look at the AFC West in particular.
Was Rodgers one this whole time in the NFC after Brady retired? I mean, I don't know.
He won back-to-back MVPs, Christopher.
Yeah, he only should have got one of those.
He won back-to-back MVPs, Christopher.
Only one of those.
All right. So, yes, the answer is yes. Right. Okay?
I mean, Brady should have had one of those.
But we're focused on the when.
Are we also assuming Tom's retired, right?
Doesn't matter. That's an argument that's no longer germane, Chris.
When?
Because he won't be in the NFC this fall.
Okay.
He might not be in the NFC this spring. He shouldn't be in the NFC right now. But I understand what I want and what happens sometimes doesn't mesh. Number five on this list is Kirk Cousins. I was thinking of leaving him off the list, but he's Kirk Cousins. No. He's five on the list. He's Kirk. He's still wearing purple. And boy, do you hear a lot about the Vikings being in on a quarterbacks this year. Clearly, they're not moving up to go get one of the top ones. We'll see if they shock the world and try and move into a spot like, say, third overall to go get Anthony Richardson if they love him so much. Do they stay put where they are and snag Hendon Hooker and get a fifth year of contractual control of him once they're sitting there 24th overall? That's for another day. But for the moment, Kirk Cousins has to be on the top five list of NFC quarterbacks when Aaron Rodgers is gone. Number four on the list is a new arrival. He's the guy who is now the king of New Orleans. I'm putting Derek Carr number four on this list. There he is. Look at that beautiful family sitting there in New Orleans getting ready to eat all sorts of gumbo. One of those children is going to look at Derek Carr and say, Daddy, do they really eat turtles here?
Wow.
And put them in soup? What? Welcome to New Orleans. The Carr family.
I thought you were going to go beignets.
Yeah, that's where I go beignets.
That's not a surprise. A kid will say, I want a beignet.
Turtles.
Somebody's going to have to explain to these sweet children, they eat turtles here.
Come on.
And turn them in a soup.
Come on.
Come on.
Is that wrong?
A little bit.
It's a delicacy.
It's a truth.
Don't
shy away from it.
Turn on the half
and
shell.
And don't shy away from how good a quarterback Derek Carr is.
I agree with you.
And he is on this list of the top quarterbacks in the NFC. Even though he hasn't had taken a single NFC snap of his life, that changes soon. When Aaron Rodgers is gone from the NFC. Number three on the list is your guy.
I mean, it had to be.
Cooper Rush is on it. No?
Hey.
Damn it. It's Dak Prescott.
New leg sleeve.
And his new what?
She's got a full leg tattoo that just got debuted.
Okay,
week.
Good. May it work for him. Tony Pollard signed his franchise tag today.
Yeah, he did.
Speaking of legs.
He's got Brandon Cook.
Why wouldn't he?
He's got Brandon Cooks cooking. CeeDee Lamb now in his second year of being the number one receiver. About to get D-Hop, huh?
That's just...
Neither here nor there. Dak, just let's cut down on the picks this year a little bit. Just a little bit.
I agree.
A little bit. And then get that run game going. Ronald Jones has arrived. Look, Dak Prescott's number three on this list. Number two on this list, everybody's forgotten about him. Everybody's forgotten about him.
Oh, I know who you're doing.
Number two on this list, let us not forget.
Come on.
He went from being talked about as all he needs is just to win here right now. And he's got a chance to be on a path to the Hall of Fame. And all he's got to do is maybe win one more. And he's in the Hall of Fame based on the statistics that he has accrued. Matthew Stafford is the second best quarterback in the NFC. When Aaron Rodgers is gone, make all those wince looks you wish to have.
I don't know about that.
Who would you put it to then?
You know what? Everybody keeps sleeping on the Rams. You keep sleeping on them.
They're
you do
tanking.
That. So I could make
the Rams are tanking.
You cannot tank with this man as your quarterback and Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp.
We'll see.
Get out of here with that talk.
They're going to be in the bottom eight.
You know what they're doing? They're going through some things.
The bottom eight.
A Christian Watson growth spurt?
They're going through some things.
All right.
And they will emerge with the second best quarterback in the NFC when Aaron Rodgers is traded. Number one is a no-brainer. You know it. I know it. He is now the king of NFC quarterbacks when Aaron Rodgers is traded. And he might have even been number one, even if in some way, shape, or form, Aaron Rodgers somehow stays put past the draft. Jalen Hurts is your number one quarterback in the NFC. This is his conference to rule for time to come. It's his conference right now. We're paying rent in it.
Interesting.
You and I all know that if there's a betting favorite on anybody being on the cover of Madden this fall.
Oh, he for sure is going to be
over.
Cover, right?
Over.
Yeah, put him on there and get that
chance. Over.
Jinx.
He's going to be a top five pick in your fantasy league this year.
He might get captain.
Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, 13 touchdowns on the ground. 13 this past year. You know, it's amazing. He had almost 800 yards rushing, too. He almost had a 1,000-yard rushing season for Philadelphia. And you know, everyone else was running the ball. Miles Sanders had 1,269 rush yards. And he almost ran for 1,000, too. He's the number one on this list. Period, end of story. And it's going to be a while till anybody knocks him off that spot.
You think we need one more? All right, we'll give
I will give you one more, and this guy was almost number five, and I did this just to piss off Chris Brockman. It's not Albert Einstein.
It's
Daniel Jones.
Brilliant!
He was. I almost put him fifth on this list because he beat Kirk Cousins in a playoff game. He won a playoff game. Kirk Cousins did not last year. This guy is a two-way threat. Kirk Cousins is not, nor is Derek Carr. This guy is a two-way threat, and his ability to repeat his performance last year and surpass it is going to be a storyline that I'm looking forward to watch play out in the NFL this fall, because once you have been paid in New York, it's amazing. All we New York fans want is for players to do well enough to get paid. That's all we want. It's not my money. Forget about it.
Yeah,
but you're going to let this guy walk? What, the Steinbrenners have 50 cents, you know, in the couch cushion, right? All I got to do is lift up the couch, and there's the Franklin Mints under there from the Steinbrenners. You know what I'm saying? Steve Cohen. That friggin' guy.
Well, we're saving.
We're going to get. Don't have to save anything
for Ohtani.
You'll get Ohtani and have all this left over. You know? I'm a Met fan. I couldn't rub 2 cents together for about 50 years. Now I'm thinking everybody should be bought. You know what I mean? Hey, thanks to Steve Cohen.
Forget about it.
That's all. That's what New York fans are. But once you get paid and you don't perform well, Ooh. Oh.
Man.
Free lunch. Free lunch. Chum in the water. You need a bigger boat, to use the phrase.
Yes.
Of your one of your favorite movies?
Yes.
Daniel Jones.
Interesting.
What a season he's going to have.
Yeah.
Certainly. And if he has the season that I hope he has, he will be off the one more. He'll be on the top five list. And Chris Brockman will owe somebody an apology letter.
And a nice steak dinner.
Evan from,
who
is it?
No, it's just an apology letter. I get the steak dinner.
Oh, you get the steak
from
dinner.
From who? Again?
Evan in Portland.
Evan in
Why
Portland.
Would you just bet a letter for a steak?
Right? By the way, because Evan understands.
He's a steak.
Evan in Portland, I don't know him, but he struck me as a very smart man. Yes. Evan in Portland understands a steak dinner is consumed and then forgotten.
Like half an hour.
A letter can be framed and lives forever.
Yeah.
And a letter from Chris Brockman of apology.
I think it's handwritten.
A letter of apology. Have you ever written a letter of apology in your life?
No.
Okay.
I'm sure in grade school he had to do
Did
something.
Did you ever write, I'm sorry, a letter that said I'm sorry to somebody? Ever? In your life? This was going to be your first, right? It's got to be.
I don't know. I can't imagine.
Fantastic. Daniel Jones.
All right, let's go. According to fantasy rankings, the top 10 NFC quarterbacks, fantasy projections heading into next year.
Jalen Hurts.
Hurts is number one.
Through the roof.
Justin Fields is number two.
Yeah,
I'm talking fantasy. This is fantasy.
I know that. That's why he's not on this list.
Okay. Dak Prescott number three. Kirk Cousins four. Daniel Jones is number five.
Mm-hmm.
Geno Smith not on your list. Six. Jared Goff seven. Trey Lance eight. Kyler Murray nine. Matthew Stafford 10.
Dude, a guy
that's going to be a bad take.
Knee is
that's
blown
that's
out
a bad and, take.
Excuse
by
me.
You. Matthew Stafford, number two.
Says a man who just read off that somebody's ranked higher coming off of a knee surgery. He might not even play this year. He's got better fantasy rankings than Matthew Stafford. And Derek Carr's not even on the list at all. Dumbass list.
D-A-L.
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 Derek Carr, 11th, right behind Matthew Stafford.
Is that an SZA song?
Or dumbass NFC. List?
This might be on their next album.
I know it, SZA.
Just saying.
In case you've just joined us, I'm going to see SZA tonight.
Don't disrespect
Alexander.
Rich like that.
All right. Let's take a break.
I wish I could play a song.
Tom Pelissero is going to join us. Tommy P.
It's our guy.
Yeah, it's our guy. TPS, Tom Pelissero segment when we come back to the RAS. Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com. RichEisen.com.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio stream, along with the Rich Eisen Show, back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, along with the Rich Eisen Show live stream on the Roku channel. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Tom Pelissero, frequent Rich Eisen Show guest host, back here on the show as Rich Eisen Show guest, period, from the NFL Media Group, from New York City, where he's doing a very good job on the Good Morning Football breakfast table. How are you, Tom Pelissero? What's going on?
Doing fantastic, Rich. What's up to the boys in the studio?
Oh, hey! Tommy
B! What's up, baby?
It's my guy!
No, were you expecting him to do that? Or
well, it was 50-50, yeah. To be honest.
Why? He's a good man.
Again, all business when he comes on. All business.
I had a problem with Tom earlier. You weren't here last time. What? He never speaks to us. He keeps it very professional. So we told him the time before he called, show us some love. And then last time he did, and now we weren't sure if he was going to continue.
Yeah. Tom, so well done.
It's our guy.
Well done.
Thank you, Tom.
Uh-oh.
I know the important people to keep happy there.
I thought you hung up on us.
Oh my
God. Tom's like, this was a mistake.
All right. Bryce Young's throwing right now. Bryce Young's throwing right now. Just in case you're wondering, he looks good doing it. Tom, he looks good doing it. So I'm giving you information. What do you got for me on the latest here with all these pro days? What do you got for me?
It's one of the interesting trends here, and I didn't really realize this, Rich, was guys are doing shorter pro day throwing sessions this year. It used to be it'd be 60 to 70 throws, and it would be these lengthy events. Bryce Young, I talked to his quarterback coach who's running it, Taylor Kelly, yesterday, and he said their plan, their script is like 45 to 50 throws. So it's going to start out, or did already start out with him just kind of doing some on the run type of stuff. They want to see him do some under center plant stuff, which he didn't do a lot in Alabama's offense. And then they want to get him into some of those show off throws, which is, as much as I think that everybody who watched Alabama knows Bryce Young can get the football down the field, there's always something that scouts and coaches are looking for in terms of when they see somebody live, when they see him in person, how does the ball come out of their hands? And you're looking at a guy who's 5'10 and an eighth. He was 204 at the combine. He played like at 186. What does it look like when he's chucking the ball down the field? And so as much as you're not answering maybe some of the questions about tape when it comes to throwing in person, there are some of those things the teams try to pick up on. And so Bryce Young obviously being below the line in terms of height, below the line in terms of his frame and his weight, is going to try to show today that he's well above the line in terms of how he throws that ball.
Well, a month ago, Tom, it was Bryce Young who was going to be the first overall pick as we were heading into the combine. And even with him not throwing at the combine, that gave you the sense that he's the first overall pick. That's what first overall picks do, is they don't throw at the combine. And then C.J. Stroud threw at the combine. And then all of a sudden, Carolina trades up for the pick. And we're like, well, that's the prototype for Frank Reich, is C.J. Stroud more than the height-weight conversation surrounding Bryce Young. Is that the general sense of things, or does Young flip the script with a nice pro day that we all expect? What do you think?
Well, I'll say this for the Panthers. They're doing the same process with everybody. They came into Columbus with the whole crew intact. David Tepper, his wife, Scott Fitterer, Frank Reich, Thomas Brown, Josh McCown. I mean, they brought everybody on that thing, had dinner with C.J. Stroud. Went to his workout. They're going to bring him into Charlotte for a private meeting prior to the draft. And then last night they went to Tuscaloosa, the same thing with Bryce Young. I'm told they're going to bring him in for a private meeting before the draft too. In other words, whatever ideas they have going into this, they're trying to be open-minded, go through the process, make sure that they're making the right decisions. I mean, it really comes down to the entire package with these guys. It's not just the size and the arm strength. It's the intangibles. It's how they are in the room, and they're getting a lot of personal time with them away from the field. I think that at this point, it would be a big surprise if Anthony Richardson somehow ends up being the number one pick. I think at this point, it would be a surprise if Will Levis ends up being the number one pick. That rarely narrows it to two players. But again, things can change over the coming month here and the weeks, and especially with the owner and the GM and the head coach all in the room and a completely new staff. It's a fascinating type of a dynamic here, knowing that there's four quarterbacks who quite possibly are going to be first-round picks, top 10, top 20 type of type of picks here. And it also has that trickle-down effect where you got Houston at 2, you got the Colts at 4, you got other teams like the Raiders that potentially at some point could draft one if the price is right. All these parts are interconnected, and it's also going to impact, you know, can the Cardinals put number 3 up for bid at some point? Is there going to be a market to come up and get another one of these guys? It's the whole league. It's not just the Panthers. They just happen to be sitting at the top of the board.
So if Air Tepper doesn't make a stop tonight in Lexington to take Will Levis to dinner, then we know Levis is out of the running. Is that the way we got it for tonight? You want us to start calling around steakhouses to see if the Teppers have a party of 20 somewhere? For a steakhouse
I'm
tonight?
Pretty sure we'll know by tonight that they're going out to dinner with Will Levis. Again, they're trying to make this process the same for everybody. Mm-hmm. But sure, I mean, I think that all that stuff matters. I mean, there's been times in past years, too, where somebody would go to every pro day except the guy that they're going to draft. So there's not as many smoke screens when you're sitting there at number one, but I fully anticipate all these guys are going to go through the car wash, which also, by the way, they did this last year, too. The Panthers brought in all the quarterbacks last year. I want to say they had like the sixth or ninth. I want to say it was sixth. And they still did this. They brought everybody in.
Right.
They spent extra time with them. They didn't end up taking one up there. They waited until the third round and took Matt Corral. But they wanted to fully vet everybody in case. And that comes from, you know, Scott Fitterer was with John Schneider in Seattle. Schneider for years, even when he's had Russell Wilson or when he was in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, he's always gone to every top quarterback throwing session just because you want to know what plays in the league, because you want to know if all of a sudden there becomes a possibility 3 years later that Drew Locke's available in the trade, and you want to think back to what you thought of him at that time. And I think that fits kind of that same mold of you fully examine everything. But right now, I think it's, you know, the difference is it's pretty obvious that they're taking a quarterback at number one. We just don't 100% know who it is.
Yeah, the Panthers took Ike Ekwonu in last year's draft, 6th overall for their offensive line. He's going to end up protecting whoever they draft this year. The Raiders at 7 had a pre-pro day workout chat with Bryce Young. I mean, walk me through the thought process there. Is that due diligence in case Young could be possibly available 3rd overall after the Texans choose 2nd and then they can make a trade up to go get him? Like, walk me through why something like that happens, as reported by our colleague Mike Garofolo this morning.
I heard the Raiders were also doing extra work with C.J. Stroud. I think that they're another team that's in that position of wanting to make sure that they go through the entire process. I'd be surprised if the Raiders end up taking one at the top of the draft, because if you look at the details on Jimmy Garoppolo's contract, it really locks them in for 2 years here. Now, you could also say that if year one doesn't go great and if you happen to have the right quarterback fall into your lap, then you could move on from Jimmy. Somebody else will pay him that money. So all those things are possible here. But, you know, I don't think that you look at Jimmy Garoppolo either and say, well, we've got the quarterback for the next 10 years. The reality of his career is he's won a lot when he's been out there, but there have been plenty of times he's not been out there because he's had injuries. So to, you know, continue to look to add to the room, again, I don't know if they're going to take one at number 7, and all these guys might be gone by 7. And I also think that there's also some gamesmanship that plays along the way, too, where you want people thinking maybe you're a threat to take a quarterback, even if you're not taking one, just to try to make sure, let's say the Raiders don't want a quarterback here. The best case scenario for you is 4 of them go off the board and the 6 picks ahead of you and one of those premier non-QBs drops into your lap.
Tom Pelissero joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show from New York, where he's been expertly sitting at the breakfast table on Good Morning Football all week long. Yesterday in New York, or the New York, New Jersey area, Jets made news by signing Mecole Hardman and then flipping Elijah Moore, their second round choice from 2 drafts ago, who last year had some gear grinding, I think, with the Jets. He is now a Cleveland Brown, and it cost the Browns a second round choice. The Jets also flipped a 3rd to them. The reason why I bring all this up in such long-winded fashion is that the Jets are clearly making moves right here with a second round pick that's now in their arsenal to go along with the other one that they have in succession. It looks like they're putting some capital together to give to Green Bay at some point to end all this that we know is going to happen. Where do things stand right now between Jets and Packers and Aaron Rodgers? What do you got for me, Tom?
I think that at minimum, Rich, adding that extra second round pick gives you more options. There's more different types of packages, which is something Joe Douglas historically has done in trade talks, which is say, hey, here's two or three different options. I'll do one of these. Which one do you want to work off of? The Packers-Jets conversations go back weeks now prior to permission being granted for Rodgers to talk to the Jets. There was the, you know, those initial conversations they would have liked, the Packers would have liked to get the trade compensation locked in before granting permission, but the sides were not quite on the same page in terms of what that looked like. The clock was ticking, and Aaron Rodgers had not declared his intentions at that point to anyone, saying that he wanted to play for the Packers, the Jets, or not play at all. So what the Packers ultimately had to do was kind of make the decision, okay, we need to get Aaron to decide something here. We can't delay these conversations, so let's let the Jets have that talk, figure it out, and then if Aaron decides he wants to move on, then we'll work out the compensation after. They're not far, Rich, from my understanding, but they're not close either. In other words, it's not as if the Packers are saying we want two first-round picks and the Jets are saying we'll give you a fourth. It's not like that. They're substantially closer than that. The Packers are not trying to get two ones. The Jets, I certainly do not believe, intend to give up this year's number one, which is the 13th overall pick. And so then you're into different combinations of either conditional picks or second-round picks. And, you know, at some point they've got to figure out, can they actually work this thing out? Usually, you know, there's pressure points that force action in a lot of these cases. I do anticipate that with Brian Gutekunst and Joe Douglas both at the NFL meetings to begin this weekend in Phoenix, they'll probably sit down face-to-face and have this conversation. But if, you know, nothing can get done now, which, you know, let's face it, there's not like a lot of urgency necessarily to get it done right now, then your next pressure point is really prior to the NFL draft. And if the Packers want to pick in the 2023 draft, they have to do it by Thursday or latest Friday of draft week. If you get beyond that, then now you're into kind of this nebulous territory here where it doesn't really matter to the Jets if Rodgers is on the team prior to, you know, any time before training camp, because he can fly everybody out in June, just fly out all the skill guys and work out with them in California. That's not a big deal. It really comes down to in training camp, and then as you get close to the regular season, you need them on the roster. And the Packers are going to have to make the decision here. Do you, you know, run that risk of going beyond the draft and getting draft capital out into 2024? I wouldn't think the Jets would want 2025 picks, because for all they know, Aaron Rodgers wanting to be a member of the team in 2024. So you've got all these different types of moving parts. There's different options you can do in terms of putting conditions on the picks, where if you have a certain level of personal or team success, it could be a higher pick. There's probably a path forward in that regard, but I certainly also understand if the Packers are sitting there and saying, this is Aaron Rodgers, a four-time NFL MVP, a guy who 1 year ago we paid on a contract that we thought made him a Packer for life. We didn't intend to be in this position. We're not letting go of this guy unless we're assured that we have a first-round pick. That's the kind of stuff that you've got to be able to work through here. And you know, a lot of times, Rich, the best trades are the ones where nobody's really happy. This is probably going to be one of those situations where everybody's going to have to give something in order to make this thing work prior to late April.
I'm a little surprised that how is this not hammered out before they even get on a plane to go see Aaron Rodgers? I mean, sir, look, I understand what is said publicly, but Rodgers came out of his retreat knowing he was returning, or he went through his workouts and knowing he was returning. He made his intentions known. He wanted to play for the Jets. The Jets had already, you know, flown out to see him just by before even getting on the plane. How is this not hammered out? Right. I mean, where it's just like, if we're going to do this, this is the only way that we're going to do it. And we know, you know, he doesn't want to come back to play for you anymore. You don't want him. We could use him before we get on a plane. Before we even go down this road, this is what we're willing to do. I'm kind of surprised that wasn't hashed out. Now it's a whole long, drawn-out process where we're wondering who's got leverage, Tom. You know?
Well, and like I said, Rich, they did have those conversations. The Packers ideally would have liked the compensation to be locked in prior to the deal being done. I'm sure the Jets would have too, but they weren't there. And now all of a sudden it's the first week of March. And if you say, no, you can't talk to them until we work out the trade – and at that time, you're kind of in a you know, a standoff of sorts, then what do? You don't let him talk to Aaron for weeks. Then Aaron says, okay, fine, if I have to make a decision now, I'm retiring. And then 3 weeks from now, it's like Brett Favre, and now he wants to come back, and it's an entirely different type of a mess. I don't know that there was a really clean solution here. Mm-hmm. Again, I would just emphasize, they're not on completely different pages. It's not as if you've got totally disparate offers. You're trying to hammer down, what does this actually look like? What is the final compensation? And so the Jets getting that extra second-round pick yesterday, maybe that does give them, you know, a little bit more flexibility in terms of what they're willing to do. Maybe there's a package here that makes sense that was not possible previously. But, you know, again, I don't believe, I mean, just my opinion, I don't believe that the Packers want to walk away from this without a hard first-round pick. If they don't get that at some point, you know, do you just take the best offer before the draft to make sure you get picks now? Or do you kind of go into crazy town after the draft where then it's, you know, very much, hey, we're going to hold on to the guy and we're going to mess up your season if we don't get the type of compensation that we want to. And then there's not really a clear end date other than before the start of the regular season when they have to pull the trigger on that option bonus.
Tom Pelissero, a couple minutes left with my colleague from the NFL Media Group here on the Rich Eisen Show. Has Lamar gotten any offer sheets? Anyone coming? I know that's two questions, but what's the latest there?
It is a challenging situation to read at present, Rich, because of all the various tentacles of this that we've discussed on this show and on NFL Network in terms of the, you know, two first-round picks and over 20% of your salary cap, $50 million a year, a fully or nearly fully guaranteed contract for a guy whose greatest skill is probably a depreciating asset. It's a lot to ask. I do know the teams have, you know, explored it in terms of having those conversations at minimum internally. You've also got, you know, the dynamic of some of the teams that you potentially would have in the mix might have very high draft picks. In other words, if you're the Colts, which has been, you know, written some about, even though it does not seem like that's advanced very far, Colts right now have the number four pick. If one of the two first rounders you're giving up is number four, that is way, way different than giving up, let's say, number 20 and number 25 over a couple of years. So, if the Colts, again, this is all hypothetical, if the Colts wanted to be involved in this, you'd think they'd probably be looking to trade down before they'd be willing to entertain doing an offer sheet. It's, you know, it depends on so many different factors right now. And with Lamar, I mean, he, just in terms of his, we'll see what happens in that interview or whatever that's coming out, but he's, you know, in terms of his social media posts and whatnot, he seems decidedly unbothered, which makes sense. Because he was willing to play for $1.7 million and $23 million over the past 2 years that no agent would have ever told him to go do. So, you know, you're going to have, on one hand, yes, you would think that if you want the player, you're going to want to put the wheels in motion sooner than later and make the Ravens make a decision because they'll have 5 days on the calendar to match any offer sheet. But if you're sitting there on a high pick and you're thinking we need to get a good player now to help out this team, maybe you kick the can down the road, do that offer sheet after the draft. He can go all the way until, I believe it's the Tuesday after week 10, Rich. Mm. That's how long Lamar can string this out. He can sign an offer sheet that late. And then at that point, if nothing happens, and in the world where he's like, you know what, after playing for $32 million over the last 2 years, I'll give up $20 million just to sit until mid-November here, then he's got a choice. Does he come back at all? Does he try to play the down the stretch of the season or just continue sitting out, give up the other $12 million and try this all again in 2024? I don't know if there's a great history for players sitting out an entire season, whether it's Deshaun Watson or in a different position, Le'Veon Bell, and coming back and playing well. Football does not generally lend itself to that type of layoff. But one thing we know about Lamar Jackson is he is not going to be boxed into doing the conventional thing. Literally everything that he has done, everything that he is doing, is unconventional, and I would expect negotiations, if any, with the other 31 teams to be just as unconventional as we move forward.
Hey, man, next week's annual meeting, the owners' meeting, is going to be lit. I mean, with this, the last two conversation topics, or all three of them on the table front and center with the owners and the general managers and coaches all there. I mean, that's going to be something else next week. Well, and the question about the Washington's ownership and rule changes, That's quite a bit. I look
the
forward.
Rule changes will be a big deal too. And I believe the Competition Committee's rule change proposal should be coming out in the next 24 hours here. We'll see in terms of the review stuff, which they have never liked to do, the suggestion of automatic ejections for certain personal fouls, which they definitely don't want to do. There's a lot to, the roughing the passer stuff. There's a lot to dig into, and that's definitely going to be one of the driving storylines next Monday and Tuesday.
Well, look for my call, Tom. We'll get you back on if you're so willing. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Rich.
Yeah, the fellas say hey. Thanks, Tom.
Later, brother.
That's Tom Pelissero, everybody, right there. There you go on our program. Next week, will the Commanders be up for sale? What rule changes are going to be had? Lamar Jackson. Hey, Eric DaCosta, are you free for a quick chat? Hey, Coach Harbaugh, as you know, the AFC and NFC coaches have press conference availabilities in the morning. They sit at a table around coffee, right? A little coffee, little eggs. There we go.
Is Garoppolo going to supply the eggs from now on with all the chickens?
Different story, sir. Oh. Different eggs. Oh. All right, we'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial as we hit the road right here on this Thursday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. March Madness tonight and a Friday show to get to tomorrow.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we just had a fun stroll down memory lane involving Grant Musburger, who was dynamite with Suze and you guys.
That was fun. Yeah,
last week, all the stories that he told. 844-204 Rich being the number to dial here on the program. Richard in Tucson, Arizona, let's sneak your phone call in before we head out the door. What's up, Richard?
Hey, Rich, thanks so much for taking my call.
You got it, man.
Hey, I've been listening to your stance on your position on who has leverage with the Packers and the Jets.
Yeah.
And the thing that I think needs to be factored in is the fan base and the ownership pressure. Green Bay doesn't have an owner. And the fan base in Green Bay is so strong that there's 130,000 people on a waiting list to get tickets to go to Lambeau.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at that compared to the Jets. I mean, the Jets haven't been to the Super Bowl since Namath, number three, after the first two with Green Bay. And everyone, I just think there's a lot of pressure from the fan base in New York to want to get this done. I think Green Bay has a little bit more wiggle room and the attitude of the Midwest. You know, we're all at Roger fatigue. I don't have anything against him. But he hasn't been able to deliver in postseason. It's like, great player, but we've had 32 consecutive years of first ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and don't have the rings to show for it. So it's time to move on, and I think that gives the Packers a little bit more leverage room here.
Well, a couple things. First, you have one ring. I guess you said rings, plural. Also, the fact that you say the Packers don't have a real owner, it's terrible that you would insult Mike Del Tufo that way. How many shares of the Packers do you own?
Two.
Okay, so there's your real owner.
Yeah.
Richard, look, you want to talk about pressure points? There's different pressure points. There's a pressure point for the Packers to get this deal done before the draft. Because if you're going, Aaron Rodgers will not be on this team on September 2nd or September 1st when they have to pay him $60 million. He will not be there. Okay. That's not going to happen. So you might as well get something for him right now when you know he's not going to be there for with you this fall. You might as well get something right now and hammer out what you're going to get in future years right now, because the Jets would like to get something done right now, but they would also like to use their first round draft choice and other draft choices. If it doesn't happen right now and the Jets get to use both second round draft choices in a row in a very deep draft, knowing that they're eventually going to get Rodgers anyway, then go for it if that's the game of chicken Gutekunst wants to use. The reason why Tom Pelissero just used the phrase crazy town if the Packers let it go past this year's draft is that's when the leverage would be most to their benefit, to be very honest, is the crazy town would be would let down in the whole question of what will the Jets do if Rodgers isn't there by training camp. That's the leverage point that the Packers have mostly over the Jets, is that they would really wreck the Jets season if Rodgers can't get total training camp practice time in with his guys. And the first time he actually faces real action with his teammates is week one, when you know they'll put him in some spot that's going to be on national television. So the crazy town was that would also invite Aaron Rodgers to show up in Wisconsin in May, because spring is a beautiful time of the year to just show up in Wisconsin. So I will say, you know, thank you for the call, Richard. My whole point is there's different leverage points and fan bases. Let's do this. Chris, put on at Rich Eisen Show poll question.
Okay.
For Packers fans only. I know we can't vet.
All right.
Twitter's not the greatest at vetting, but I know we can vet. For Packers fans only, do you want the Packers trade Rodgers for the best they can get before the draft? Demand a first-round pick from the Jets no matter what. That's it. And I don't think I'm fudging the language to influence the jury here. But what would you, I think Packers fans, most Packers fans I speak to say, love Rodgers. God, what an incredible run that was. Yes, we totally know that we're running the risk that Jordan Love doesn't turn into a third consecutive generationally brilliant quarterback. I totally get it, but kind of have to move on here. Like, enough is enough. Let him go somewhere else. I root for him. Hopefully he'll come back and wave to the fans in Lambeau Field forevermore, because he's welcome there. You know what I mean? But I think they want this done and over with. Get to Jordan Love. Let's move. Let's move on together. Let's all get in the same boat. Get the best deal you can from the Jets and do it before the draft. Or hold out for that first round pick. We want the value for Rodgers that you think you can get. Hold out for it, even though that might let this thing roll on into the summer. However you can put that together in a poll question, let's do that and see what comes up.
It's out. Let's see what happens.
Because the fans are the true owners of the team. That's why Mike Del Tufo is an owner of the team, even though you're not really a fan of the Packers.
No.
Which is, I guess, Richard's point on the problem with ownership of the Packers.
I'm surprised we're not putting more heat on Del Tufo for getting this. He's right in front of you.
I mean,
guys can be able to work this out.
I have a feeling he just doesn't have the juice. No offense. That'll wrap it up for this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We'll chat again on Friday.